Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
The ball hit deep, way back! Deep to left
field! Holy cow! Carlton Fisk has put the White Sox ahead!
Jimenez leaves the ballpark! You can't put it on the board! Yes!
We got a chance to do something real special.
All right, sit back, relax, and strap it down. It's time for the White Sox Talk Podcast.
You're listening to the White Sox Talk Podcast, brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, a great place to put your money. Speaking of money, the White Sox reportedly offered a whole bunch of it to Manny Machado. At least 3 times more than they've given to anybody in White Sox history. But everyone's freaking out, saying they should have offered a whole lot more. Maybe that's true, but you know what? Maybe it's not true. Maybe it is enough. We're going to dig into that. But I do know one thing. I know one thing for sure. Wintrust is your home for White Sox checking. For free ATMs nationwide, go to the special White Sox webpage, www.wintrust.com/sox. All right, Chuck Garfin here on a Friday with Vinny Duber and making his second appearance on the White Sox Talk
Podcast. Right, yeah, number two, yeah.
Tom Cooper.
The first time we made fun of David Ross on Dancing with the Stars.
Yes. Times have changed.
I know, right?
We bring you on because why?
Because I grew up in Downingtown, Pennsylvania, which is 45 minutes northwest of the great city of Brotherly Love.
And you are a Phillies fan.
I am a Phillies fan.
So we've been talking so much about the White Sox perspective. I wanted some Phillies perspective on this podcast as well. But Manny Mania, I mean, is there Manny Mania in Philly? As far as you know?
In terms of baseball perspective, yes. It's obviously Eagles.
Right, right.
I'm surprised we're not talking Eagles right now, or Jimmy Butler's malcontent status now with the 76ers. But, yeah, they're excited still for it. I mean, they still think they can, you know, they're a player in both guys.
That one construction worker,
he's got Manny Mania. But, right now it's Eagles, obviously, and if they get knocked out, which obviously I and the rest of Philadelphia hope doesn't happen on Sunday, then they'll turn their attention to what happens with Manny Mania and Harper Mania.
All right, well, here's the latest. It's from Bob Nightingale, who, according to 4 people with direct knowledge of the situation, the White Sox did formally offer Manny Machado a long-term contract proposal. It is characterized as, in what was described by Bob Nightingale, as a serious offer, likely closer to $200 million than $300 million, but not enough to sway Machado to hop on a flight to Chicago and sign the contract. So let's break this down first. All right. If say they offered him $225 million, that would by far 3.5 times more than any offer they've ever made to anybody, or at least I shouldn't say offer, any contract they've ever
signed.
Yeah. You're comparing it to the Jose Abreu contract. So this on its own. Now, we can get into the, will this work in a moment, but the Sox going all the way to $225 million, if that's it, or at least in the 200s, that to me says something about what they want to do.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about it for weeks, for God, it's months, been months now, hasn't it? I mean, they seem serious about this. They seem in this to win it, and in both situations, really. I mean, they've been meeting with these guys. They were the first stop on Machado's tour. They've made 2 reported meetings with Harper since the offseason began. They sent Jim Thome out to Las Vegas to try and convince Harper to come to the South Side. They've seemed aggressive. They've seemed serious. They've seemed like this is all part of their plan to kind of move on to the next phase of this rebuilding project. And a number like that is probably what it's going to take. Perhaps a higher number is what it's going to have to take. But, I mean, this is the kind of arena that they're playing in right now.
We have to figure out what's going on behind the scenes. And it's like, okay, if I'm trying to read the tea leaves here, Machado wants to play for the Yankees. That's his preference. Why haven't the Yankees made an offer? Okay. We don't know. They did sign Troy Tulowitzki, all right? He can potentially play shortstop there. Machado can until Didi gets there. Or maybe it's going to be Tulowitzki. So you have that dynamic. At Alex Rodriguez, he wants him to play for the Yankees. But then you have the Phillies who are going to spend stupid money. Where is the stupid money?
The Tom stupid Cooper? Money, they still have it. But I feel like this is more Machado just kind of waiting. Maybe seeing if somebody
he's
else
waiting?
Blinks. Yeah, I feel like he's got the offers. He must like the offers, but not enough for his agent to say, all right, go with this one. I feel like they're trying to get more out of the organizations. Maybe a team with stupid money throws more stupid money on the table and says, well, we got this much more stupid money, White Sox, Yankees. How much more of your money are you willing to part with?
My guess is the White Sox are hoping that they aren't totally outbid by the Phillies to the point where he just goes to Philly.
Yeah. Because I feel like if he goes to Phillies, it's good because of the money.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously the White Sox are closer to winning than they were before. So if he comes, he puts them maybe another year closer to making the playoffs. The Phillies were leading the NL East last year until August when they completely collapsed because of the bullpen. So I feel like if the Phillies get him, it'll be great. If the Phillies don't get him, that's okay. But to me, I feel like Machado is just going to wait this out. I feel like we're going to maybe towards the end of January, maybe even early February.
Yeah.
We're still sitting here because it just feels like the market these days. And because of that, everybody else has got to wait too.
That's not good.
No.
By the way, Mad Dog Russo on High Heat.
What I got that duck?
Said today, I've got a funny
feeling. I got that duck.
I'm quoted here. I've got a funny feeling Machado might end up with the White Sox. So I don't know if that's good or bad that Mad Dog Russo
I don't know, Chuck.
He's going to end up.
I don't know that.
That's what he said. But let's break this down a little bit because say it's $225 million. That'll be their final offer for Machado. That comes out to, I'm assuming it's a seven-year deal, $32 million a year, which would be the second highest per season average in MLB history. Zach Greinke's at $34 million. Miguel Cabrera's at $31 million. So these aren't pennies. But when the report came out that it's low 200s, everyone in White Soxville was like, what is this? They are so cheap. Why can't they spend money? Well, it would be the second highest in the history of the game.
Well, it's that expectations game, too. I mean, at the beginning of this offseason, I think a lot of people, ourselves included perhaps, thought that both Harper and Machado would be getting record-breaking deals, that these could be the two biggest contracts in baseball history because they're both 26 years old. They got so much of their career left in front of them. They're so productive. It all made sense. And now we've hit a second straight winter of this free agent stalemate where nothing seems to be happening, and maybe those markets are tumbling a little bit. The thing that's interesting to me, as Bob Nightingale wrote, was with both of these guys, you're talking about three, four teams? Bryce Harper, you know, Mike Trout is fantastic, but Bryce Harper might be the best player in baseball, perhaps, in some people's mind. And you got three teams going after him?
Say there's two mystery teams. Five.
Right.
That's it.
You'd be expecting, you know, just a few years ago, a gigantic bidding war for both of these guys. And you're looking at situations in where it's the White Sox, the Phillies in on both of them, the Nationals and the Dodgers, maybe the Dodgers for Harper. They haven't said anything.
Right.
The Yankees for Machado, and that's pretty much all you got.
Are there any teams out there that, like, desperately need these two guys?
Yes, that's what I keep saying.
Right.
Two teams.
Uh-huh.
White Sox, Phillies.
Yeah. And
I would argue one of those teams desperately needs these guys.
Who's
the Phillies?
Yeah. White Sox don't. Well, why do you say that?
I say that from a timing perspective because I think that the White Sox have many other options, several of which could be homegrown options that can turn into these kinds of players.
Yeah, but every team has that situation. You never know who's going to turn into that.
The White Sox are not. The White Sox are not going to get one of these guys and become a World Series contender tomorrow. They're still waiting to be done. They're still rebuilding to be done in the minor league system, even if you get one of these game-changing talents. And next year's free agent class, as we've talked about, is loaded. From a timing perspective, they don't need one of these guys. Do they need somebody the caliber of one of them eventually?
Yeah.
Yes. These two guys specifically, I don't think it's a need.
All right. I think the Sox need right now a guy like this, hopefully this year. If not this year, next year. So I hear what you're saying. Yeah, they don't totally need one of these guys, and the whole thing isn't going to fall apart if they don't
right.
get him. But in terms of a need, how about this? Who needs them the most? I would say the White Sox and the Phillies need these two guys the
most. The Phillies need it because their chairman, John Middleton, has gone out there and said, we're going to get these guys. So he almost has to save face, too.
Yeah.
And what they did at shortstop is offseason getting Gene Segura from the Mariners. If he's just opening a shortstop, that's nice. But you almost kind of need Manny Machado. But I kind of feel, maybe this is because I'm stuck in Eagles mode right now. If they don't get him, okay, we're still a good enough team. We're still going to compete for the NL East title.
Right.
I still kind of feel like if he goes to the White Sox, Harper goes to the White Sox, I'm okay with that.
I think the best scenario for the White Sox
I'm okay with that because I want them to save their money to get Mike Trout the next year.
That's what they should be doing from the beginning.
To guarantee that he gets his Eagles season tickets, wherever he wants to at Lincoln Financial Field.
Why are the Phillies even messing around with this? Seriously. Mike Trout is your guy.
Exactly. I think it all comes down to John Middleton. He was the guy last year who went out there and made sure whatever Jake Arrieta wanted, Jake Arrieta would get. Now, obviously, they played the smart game because free agents took forever to sign last year. And they waited until spring training had already opened to ink them. But they made sure that there was a message out there that the Phillies are back open for business again. We want to create the same kind of atmosphere we had here in 07, 8, 9, 10, 11 when they were winning division titles. And that's why he went out this offseason, and the Phillies have been out there trying to, you know, be one of the front runners for both teams.
What I would say about the Phillies, too, is that what's coming is not nearly as attractive as what the White Sox have coming. And that division is a lot tougher than the AL Central. Mm-hmm.
Maybe the best scenario for the White Sox is the Phillies do get Harper.
Mm-hmm.
That takes the money thing out of the equation for Machado. So the White Sox would have the best offer for Machado unless he goes to the Yankees for less money.
Here's my question to you. Do you think the White Sox contract offer, what we were kind of guessing that it could be, is going to be so different from what the Yankees would offer that would make the difference?
So different meaning the Yankees would be a lot less?
Well, because according to Bob Nightingale, he wrote that if everything is equal, people believe that Machado is going to go to the Bronx. Is that White Sox contract offer that we've been talking about going to be vastly different than what is going to be coming
from the
Yankees?
I know the Yankees have all the money in the world. Actually, they don't have all the money in the world, but I know they have so much money, but they still have books. And there's a limit on how much they can spend, and they have to look forward how many years you have to deal with Aaron Judge at some point and sign him. There's money and money. There's not an endless supply of money. Do they need Manny Machado? Like the White Sox need him?
Oh, absolutely not. Because that roster
would they make that right?
Yeah.
So if I'm the Yankees, I'm like going forward, I'm spending money on pitching, like the big money on pitching. They got Miguel Andujar. They can put him at third base. You got Troy Tulowitzki, or Gleyber Torres can play shortstop until Didi comes back. They don't need Manny like the White Sox need Manny. So that's why I'm feeling better and better about the Sox chances of signing him, unless your darn Phillies get in the way.
They're stupid
and
money.
Spend stupid money.
Can you put stupid money in a checking account at Wintrust? Is there a separate stupid money account at Wintrust?
We know there'll be no ATM fees.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the best
nationwide
part about it. Yeah. John Middleton can withdraw the money from his Wintrust bank ATM fee.
Here's my dream. It's Sunday. Bears are playing the Eagles. Got two cities obviously focused on this game, but there's also this other game, this chess game going on between the White Sox and the Phillies, and it's halftime. And there's a special guest at Soldier Field. It's Manny Machado. He's wearing a coat. Wearing a coat. And then the camera goes on him. He opens up the coat and reveals the uniform, or at least the jersey, the team that he has signed with, and it's the White Sox.
Wow.
And half of Soldier Field will go crazy.
Hopefully more than half.
No.
Half of Soldier Field?
Yeah, because the Cubs fans will be like, booing.
Oh, good point.
I see. And then the Cubs fans and the Eagles fans, who are Phillies fans, will be booing.
Or is he going to do like they do with college basketball, you know, recruiting and signing days, where he's got the jersey on, and all of a sudden he's like, oh, wait a second, rips it off, and he's got a Phillies jersey underneath it.
That's good.
If they
like
go
a Cliff
the
Alexander kind of thing.
If they go the college basketball route, they need to set up one of those like really cheap like folding tables
exactly.
out
put,
in the,
put
the
50 hats
yard
there.
Line
yeah.
with Machado's mom.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Machado's mom's background. Mm-hmm. He's got the one relative who really wanted to be a Philly. He's going to be angry in the background. Be disappointed. I wouldn't go to Philadelphia.
I like it. By the way, why did it take so long, or why is it taking so long for the Phillies to meet face to face with Bryce Harper?
Yeah, that's puzzling. Although there was a report they're going to meet with him in Las Vegas at some point.
Right. Okay, no, they're going to meet with him.
Yeah.
But why has it taken this long?
Yeah, I don't know. You're going to have to ask Scott Boris. I mean, I don't think it's because
we get Scott
Phillies.
Boris on the line?
Yeah, Scott Boris in the next segment of the podcast. Yeah, I don't know. It's just these winters are weird now, man.
Yeah.
Like in the days of our youth, we would have been signed this.
They need to have a deadline, I think. Don't you agree?
Yeah, some kind of little moratorium period. Like, if you're going to be a free agent, you know,
there's a trade deadline during the season, there should be a free agent deadline.
But then again, you know, you're going to sign free agents during spring training if somebody goes down and gets hurt. Yep. So it's tough to do that. Yeah.
Something has to happen. This is not good for any of our health.
You're telling me.
Yeah. Yeah. You're obviously writing about it. It's your job.
Yeah.
But everyone listening, it's like become when they're not working, this is all they're focused on. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe their families and other things.
But, and, or maybe
the
not.
Bears, just hopefully, Machado. Too. Yeah. No, Bears. Who cares about the Bears? No, I'm kidding. So much of our attention is on this and waiting. It's one thing if it's a month. It's another thing if it's 2 months. We are now into the third month.
Yeah. We're almost a month away from pitchers and catchers. And you really don't know who's going to be. Yeah. You don't really know who's going to be the open day shortstop for the White Sox or the Phillies at this point.
If the Sox sign Machado, I think he's going to third.
I disagree. I think when
he's a better third baseman. You're a better team if he's your third baseman.
That is correct, but I don't think he wants to play third base. He wants to play shortstop.
Okay, then I don't want him. Well, I shouldn't say I don't want
him. Because here's the thing. When you're in a recruiting situation like this, when you're trying to convince the guy that you're the best place, that you've got to be the pick over Philadelphia, over New York.
He's got to play where he wants to go.
You're going to tell him, he can't play the position he wants to play?
So what are the Yankees telling Machado? They're saying, okay, you can have it for 3 months, and then Didi's back. I know he's a free agent at the end of the next season. They can't promise Machado shortstop. No one can promise him shortstop. The Yankees or the Phillies aren't going to do it, right? They got Segura there.
Yeah, but I mean, you would take Manny Machado as your starting shortstop.
And where do you put Segura?
What's second? I mean, you could probably move him to second.
Okay.
Yeah. Although, I mean, with Gabe Kapler as your manager, he'll find Machado in center field at some point this year.
But you need a third baseman, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kingery is probably your best third baseman at this point.
Man, you can't always get what you want. All right, coming up, we're going to get more perspective, more Phillies perspective on Machado and speak with Jim Salisbury. He's the Phillies insider for NBC Philly. We're back in a moment.
Ricky's boys don't quit, and neither does NBC Sports Chicago's coverage. Download the My Teams app by NBC Sports and get your White Sox anytime, anywhere.
All right, on the phone, it is the esteemed writer for in Philadelphia, Phillies insider for NBC Sports Philadelphia, Jim Salisbury. Thanks for joining us, Jim.
My pleasure. Thank you, Chuck.
Okay, so let's just start with your perspective, where you see things shaking out. Obviously, things can change, but where are the Phillies and Machado right now?
I think they're pretty much where the White Sox and Yankees are. Teams were told to, start submitting offers by the new year, I should say, and that has been done, to my understanding. And Machado is sort of digging into those offers, but my understanding is also, having covered this stuff for a long time, those initial offers are just that, preliminary offers that agent and the free agent player will work off of and work toward getting exactly what they're looking for. The Phillies really have been targeting Manny Machado, and I don't think this is an overstatement, but they've been targeting him for like 2 years. They've had him kind of on the horizon, and they tried to get him in July in a trade, and obviously that didn't work, and they remain very, very interested in snagging him here in the month of January, and I think they're very, very serious about it, and they're very serious players. And I think they're going to – I'd be willing to bet they've made a competitive offer and will continue tweaking it to the point where, they remain competitive and stay in the hunt for him. I still would keep a real big eye on the Yankees because I've heard from many folks close to Machado that that's the place he's always dreamed of playing, the team he's always dreamed of playing for. But you never know. I think the Phillies would probably have to outbid other teams to get Machado, but I also think they have the resources to indeed do that if they really want the guy. So I think we're going to start seeing things shaken out here in the next week or so. But the two, with those two big iconic free agents, Machado and Harper, and two real big powerful agents, you have a real stare down because there's such a desire to take, you know, the financial aspect of it almost into a new stratosphere. So we're going to see. It's I believe it is heating up, though.
You know, there's the money part of it, which is, you know, the number one here. But then what I look at is this dynamic where who's in Machado's ear? Okay, so there's the Yankees. A-Rod's in his ear because of his relationship with Lozano. And his childhood team, that's the Yankees. The White Sox have Yonder Alonso, his brother-in-law, and and maybe even his sister is influence him to stay and play for the White Sox. And then in Philadelphia, you have their front office. A lot of those guys were with him in Baltimore. You being the person covering the Phillies, how much of an influence do you think does that front office, the relationship he has with those guys in the Phillies front office from his days in Baltimore, have an effect on him, do you think?
I've been hearing that narrative for well over a year, and I buy very little into it. I think it makes for a real easy ice-breaking when you're shaking hands and catching up a little bit, haven't seen each other in a long time. You know, there's a connection there, but when it comes down to it, I think money is going to talk more than A-Rod, more than favorite teams, more than favorite brother-in-laws, and more than former Baltimore Oriole front office people. Come on, man. It's all going to be about the money.
No, I do get that. I do. But there's also ways around it. I mean, there's lifestyle, too. But if the difference of like $2 million, would that be a difference?
No, I think if it's a small
pretty
difference
close
like that, he's probably going to go to the Yankees, right?
Oh yeah. Well, in that situation, it is.
Yeah. So, and if the Yankees fall out of it, and it's $2 million, and if Mama says I want to, you know, go play in Chicago, I think that'll have a lot to do with it. But I also think the Phillies are in a position to blow people away. They are a big market team. They've carried huge payrolls in the past. People forget that from 2012 to 2014, 12, 13, and 14, the Phillies spent over $500 million, billion, in salary, only topped by the Yankees and Dodgers. Mm. They have carried huge payrolls in the past. They have scaled back the last few years. In this rebuild, they're ready to spend again. They have deep pockets. They're a big market team. They might have to blow people away to get Manny Machado. And if they decide that's the way they want to go, they can do it. They really can. They can blow people away by more than $2 million and make it an easy decision for Machado. Will they do that? I don't know. But they have that type of wherewithal. And, you know, they also have a bit of an eye on Bryce Harper, because they know that there's competition for Machado. I mean, they hear the same things we hear, that Philadelphia is not his first choice. And they have a fan base that they've almost promised something big this winter. And so they would really love to come out of this winter with one of those two big guys, and preferably Manny Machado. I mean, do you think the White Sox, how realistic are the White Sox in your mind? I'd love to hear that.
On Machado or Harper? Or both?
On Machado.
They're serious on him. As far as I can tell, they're really serious. But, you know, you see the first offer. I think a lot of people were expecting it to be, you know, I don't know where it's going to end up, but I think they were expecting it would be higher than the low 200s. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they are definitely seem to be very serious about it, but it's a question of how much they're willing to spend. I don't think they're going to spend the stupid money as it was described by the Phillies owner, but you know, they're doing everything that they can to get him.
Yeah, the stupid money comment was really interesting. I think it's put a lot of pressure on the Phillies.
Yeah, I agree.
To kind of stand and deliver.
Yeah. I mean, the way that I look at it is, you know, if just take out this perception, the perception that's out there that Machado and Harper are going to get $300 million or more. It's tough to do that at this point, but let's try to do that for the sake of this conversation. If someone would have said to me without knowing that number that had been out there, that the White Sox would offer a contract of to Manny Machado for something over $200 million, I would think the White Sox are genuinely serious about trying to sign Manny Machado. But I think because we have this idea like, oh, it's going to take $300 to $400 million, it sounds like they're being cheap. If he signs this contract, say it's 7 years, $225 million, it's the second highest contract on a per season basis in the history of the game. So it's not like they're giving him peanuts.
No, I agree with you. Anything that starts with a two is serious. But I still think anything that's on their table right now is preliminary, and they're going to work that and work that until they can get as much as they can.
Why do you think it took so long for the Phillies to meet face-to-face with Harper? I mean, you reported this, I think it was earlier this week, that they're going to set up a face-to-face meeting in Vegas. Why would it take this long for them all to get together with Bryce face-to-face?
That is a really good question. And I'm not sure who's pushing it, you know? I'm not sure if it's the Phillies pushing to sit with him. I'm not sure if it's Harper's agent, Scott Boras, pushing to get a face-to-face with the Phillies. In some ways, it could be a negotiating ploy. On both parties' part. But I also think the Phillies are sincere in their desire to land one of the two big guys, and it could be a mechanism where they're worried that they're not going to get Machado, and if they don't get Machado, they want to make sure they are going to be in the Harper sweepstakes as well. So I think they've remained and been engaged all along, and the face-to-face is kind of, you know, just taking it to another level. But there's really no doubt in my mind that Machado is and remains the priority, because actions speak louder than words. That, like I've said, they've had a desire. They've focused on this guy for 2 years. They made a bid to trade for him in July. I believe they would have been willing to give up really top prospects in July had Machado been open to a contract extension.
That's the same with the White Sox, by the way, I think a year ago.
Yeah. And now he's had a visit here in Philadelphia. So all those are sort of, you read into their action, they're even louder than words, how much they want this guy. But they, you know, there's two iconic talents out there, and they would like to get one of them. And I view the meeting with Harper as multi-layered. It could be negotiating a strategy on both sides, but I do think if they fail to get Manny Machado, then there's going to be real interest in trying to get something done with Bryce Harper. I don't know that they will. All of a sudden now we're hearing so much more talk about the possibility of a return to Washington, and they're in the Phillies division. There's so many layers to why the Phillies might want to meet with him. But, you know, on face value, I do think there is interest in the guy, but they slot him just a little bit under Machado.
It's tough to speak about this sometimes. There's just so much to it. I'm trying to just imagine the behind the scenes poker game that's going on and all the ripple effects to this whole thing. Take the Yankees. I know it's not easy to do this, but take the Yankees out of the equation. All right. Mm-hmm. Say they're just not going to make an offer anywhere close to what the White Sox and Phillies are willing to do. It comes down to the White Sox and the Phillies. And Harper signs with the Nationals, say, or the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. Who gets Machado?
You know, things I've heard over time from people I trust, Machado has had a longstanding desire play for the Yankees, and he also would like to play for a team that trains in the state of Florida, where he resides. I would have to give that upper hand to the Phillies. That said, the pizza's really good in Phoenix, too. Maybe he ends up out there.
Pizza?
This great pizza.
And Chicago. I've never heard of Philly. Phoenix is known for pizza?
Yeah, Yeah, because there's such a Chicago influence.
Oh, okay,
in,
okay, okay.
Phoenix.
Okay.
There's a lot of really good pizza out in Phoenix.
Okay.
And Scottsdale. But I don't know where he's going. I really don't. I don't. I'm just as eager as everybody else to find out. Everybody thinks they know, but nobody knows until the kid makes up his mind. And I still think money's going to drive it.
Yeah, yeah. One last question, and you've been covering this kind of stuff for a long time. It's a whole different game, isn't it, for a reporter? Because,
oh boy, yeah.
You know, how is it different for you?
Well, it's different for everybody that covers it. You know, I remember the winter meetings of 97 in Nashville, when the winter meetings were still a time when big things got done. And I remember sitting in my computer and writing, you know, Dateline Nashville, something about, you know, baseball salaries skyrocketed to a new stratosphere today as Kevin Brown and the Dodgers, you know, signed for $105 million. And now that seems like peanuts. But that deal was the biggest at the time, and it was consummated at the winter meetings. And now, you know, as baseball writers, we used to think January was the one month you could kind of catch your breath, you know, before free agency was done, teams had basically been constructed, and now there was the countdown to spring training. But now free agency is extending way into January and February. If you look at last year, the Phillies – didn't sign Jake Arrieta until the month of March.
It's crazy.
So it is crazy. These front offices are very enamored with the real upper echelon player and the inexpensive young player. And sometimes the middle ground guys get a little bit lost in the tide. And I think that's what's happening the last few years. You see so many guys lingering out there into January and February. I mean, good players, maybe not the upper crust, but still good players. So I guess this is what happens when, you know, NHL and NFL, they have, you know, defined free agent periods, but there's nothing like that in baseball. And then once everybody is signed and goes to spring training, you know, you start focusing on the trade deadline. So, you know, as far as these the attention given to transactions, it's pretty much nonstop.
What could motivate players, teams, agents to come to an agreement and make a change, a massive change, where there's just a window? Here's the window, the free agent window, if you say, I don't know if you can do this in the winter, but how do they speed this thing up as opposed to just having this long, you know, snail's pace process take months and months?
I don't know how you do that. I think the salary cap probably has something to do with it in other sports, because you have sort of a, I don't know, you have a pretty good idea what you can spend, and you have sort of a finite amount you can spend, where in baseball, you know, you can do whatever you want. And so an agent can hold a guy out there kind of as long as he wants, in effort to convince a team that this is the guy that you really need. And then when you have two big guys like Harper and Machado in a stare down to, you know, set maybe new records.
And set the free agent classes for who's coming after them, which also is at play here, the big names.
The future markets are loving this. I don't know. It could. All I know is, on opening day, Harper and Machado are going to be in somebody's uniform, and they're both really, really good players.
That's not the answer anyone wants.
Yeah, by opening day, they'll be somewhere.
Yeah, there we go. That's what we've concluded here on the podcast. Well, hey, Jim, thanks so much for your time. Here's my hope. I hope the Phillies get someone and the White Sox get someone, and everyone else, who cares about them?
Yeah, heck with the Yankees.
Yeah, I know. Heck with the Yankees. Heck with the Nationals. You had Bryce Harper. You couldn't win with him. Okay, let someone else try.
Yeah, well, that would be pretty cool. And then maybe we could have a White Sox-Phillies World Series. That would even be better.
Oh, sign me up. 2020.
All right. I'm there.
Okay. Thanks again, man. Have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Chuck.
And that's a wrap for this edition of the White Sox Talk podcast. Thanks for listening, everybody. Brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking, the free ATMs nationwide. You go to the special White Sox webpage, www.wintrust.com/Sox. Hawk, take it away.
Thanks, Art Chuck. And this edition of the White Sox Talk Podcast is over.